to introduce you to someone who many of you have met on a personal level and many of you know through a lot of other ways, our president, Ginny Sims, to make some opening comments. Welcome, Ginny.
Well, welcome everyone to the Real Teacher Congress. And you guys look good, you know, and I know that you had to brave the weather this morning, but for those of you who are from the snowlands, at least it's liquid gold. And I know that a number of people really struggled to get here this morning, but we are here. As you can imagine, our Congress has attracted a little bit of attention, and I've been doing interviews on this for the last couple of days. And one question that was asked of me this morning is, why am I here instead of at the other Congress when I was specifically invited to attend the Premier's Congress? I said, well, the reason I am here is because that's where our members are. That's where the teachers are who are elected by other teachers in each of our communities to come and talk about teaching and learning. And that our conference is open to the media, it's open to the Premier. He can wander in if he wants and engage in a dialogue. And if he wants all of us to go across, we will gladly all walk across and participate over there. I want to thank you for putting your names forward to come and engage in this dialogue. And I know that there was a little bit of confusion. We did try to alleviate some of that because as soon as the Congress was announced, you need to know that our representative assembly immediately said, we welcome the opportunity to engage in a dialogue. We do. With the Premier, because we will have lots to say about what's happening in our schools, how we feel about our profession, and what are the conditions we need in order to teach. The opportunities and challenges in public education. But we did say that rather than the government hand-picking, because that's been our past experience, teachers they talk to, that it should be done by the election process. And of course we knew that they would immediately say that the BCTF was wanting to hand-pick and control. But, you know, we're democratic. And so what we said is a hands-off for the BCTF. We'll send out communications to schools and to locals. Any teacher and every teacher can put their name in. And then there will be elections. And that's how you were selected. Your colleagues had trust and faith in you to come here and engage in a dialogue about teaching and learning. And to us, that was a fair way to do it. And of course, the media news this morning is, this room is just filled with local presidents. I want you to raise your hand if you are currently serving as a president of a BCTF local. Okay, I want to point out that two of the people who've raised their hand are from our provincial executive, and they are here, and the other two are local presidents. But look at the rest of the people who are not. How many of you are teachers with less than 5 years teaching experience? Okay. How many of you are TOCs? Okay. Beginning teacher. How many of you are within 3 to 4 years of retirement? So we have lots of experience in here. How many of you are elementary teachers? How many of you are high school teachers? How many of you are non-enrolling teachers? That's wonderful. So you see, we have the diversity of our membership represented here. And all of you need to know we have our executive here as well, because of course when we bring our teachers together to hear their thoughts on teaching and learning, we also want to have our executive here so that they can hear that. And we've hired an independent recorder of today's events. So there can't be any bias attributed to what's happening in here. And we've invited the media, and on your behalf, I've been doing the media since about 6:30 this morning. And I'm sure more of them will be here later on in the day. But, you know, that's the media. And we also need to know that we did everything we could to try to make this into one Congress. We want to start working on improving relationships, but it takes two to build relationships. And it's a matter of respect as well. We really believed that the Premier had heard our concerns and they would be addressed. And we would just get to submit all your names and you would be over there representing public school teachers. And we raised this with the Minister and we offered other compromises as well. And you know something, there was no compromise available. We did get told that to this Teachers' Congress, they had invited the superintendents, the principals, trustees, and parents. And we were a little bit intrigued by this. How were they going to get to this meeting? Well, they would be selected by their organizations. That seems kind of the right way to do things. After all, we do represent 38,000 teachers. And then we asked, why are they coming to the Teacher Congress? Because if you want to hear from classroom teachers, why all these other voices? We didn't get a satisfactory response. So we asked, there's a Parents Congress this month, later on this month. And do we get to go to the Parents Congress? Could we send 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 representatives? And the minister looked a bit confused by that request and turned around and said, well, we would have to talk to the parents about that first. And you know, I thought, nobody came and talked to us. And once again, it was about that lack of respect. So then we said, okay, we've got this conference happening. Is there any way of trying to find some kind of a compromise? Well, no, the Premier has spoken. There is no compromise available. Then we asked how people were being selected for the Parents' Congress. And we already knew this. Some of you know you never ask a question unless you already know the answer, right? But in this case, we were really interested. Well, the Parents' Congress is happening at their AGM. It's the day before their AGM, which is their annual general meeting. Well, ours is in March. And the only people who get to go are the DPAC chairs. That's the District Parent Advisory Council chairs, who will go to talk to the Premier and the Minister. Any other parent, even the PAC chairs and other parent groups who want to get in, have been told that the conference is closed, it's by invitation only, and only the elected DPAC chairs can go. So once again, one treatment for the professionals in the classroom, the very people who deliver educational programming to our students, day in, day out, was singled out for a treatment that was very, very disrespectful. So that is why we are here. We had our elections, we kept working on our compromises, and when no compromise was available, we decided we would have our Congress. And we would bring you together, and we would share the findings from our conversation with the Premier, with the media, with the parents, with the world. Whoever wants to listen, because we're like that, right? And you brought here today your concerns, but also some excitement about what's happening in our schools. The questions that were posed to us this morning are critical questions that we often don't have time to think about. And I had time to think about, why am I here this morning when I was asked that question? I didn't have time to think about it then, so I had to make up the answer. But my answer remains the same. I'm here because this is where we've got our classroom teachers who are here to talk about teaching and learning. But when I reflect on that, why is it that we need to get together like this? Well, we need to get together like this because in our day-to-day teaching, we don't get too much time to sit back and reflect about what's happening in our classrooms, in our schools, in our communities, and at large. And this is also an opportunity for us to reflect on what's happening to our profession. You know, professional autonomy is something we just take for granted. How can we have educated citizens? How can schools create an environment where we can nurture our future citizens to become educated? By the way, in that reflection earlier, I was talking to Wayne and we were having this conversation. There is no one version of an educated person. The spectrum is like this. And yet, the very kind of teaching that many of us are being forced to by policy issues are trying to narrow the way we teach, just as they try to narrow what is an educated person. And so one of the environmental factors that's really critical is what are the teaching conditions that we have as professionals that will create such an environment. Not only in professional autonomy to think about the teaching styles, but also about the teaching resources. And the minister said yesterday, the minister and I had the pleasure of being on CKNW together, and she said, it's not a money issue because that's lots of money. This government has put more money in education. It's not a matter of money. It's just a matter of doing things differently. And my challenge to the minister is, come and show me how to teach a grade 5 class with 30 students and 17 of them are special needs. I have a challenge to the premier. How do we focus on literacy when we have so many of our schools without a teacher librarian? I have a challenge to government. How can we say we're looking after the health and welfare of our schools and our students when we still allow junk food in our schools, whereas other governments have passed legislation to take it out immediately and this government needs to study it for how long? And how do we talk about health of our students when we're cutting the social safety net? How do students learn when they're hungry? How do we teach in classrooms where it's impossible for us to meet the needs of every child? And that causes stress for us as professionals. When you talk to teachers, there is one thing at the end of the day that creates the greatest amount of stress for a teacher. And that is that you've come to the end of the day and there are students in your classroom whose needs you have not been able to meet. I know that was so for me when I was a classroom teacher and then a counselor. And I know that when I talk to teachers around the province, that creates a great deal of stress and confusion for us as well. And one thing we have learned over the last few years is that we can't ignore all the noise and the policy issues that come with us. We have to take them head on. And we have to learn to say no. When something is professionally unsound, we have to have the courage to say it is unsound and we're not going to do it. When we need the resources for our students, we need to have the courage to say out loud to others, not just to each other in the staff rooms, that these are the resources we need. And we have to fight the inclination and the pressure from the outside to silence our professional voices. And today we are here with our teacher hats on, our professional hats on, but also as citizens who care deeply about public education and where it's going. And if we don't engage in that dialogue and lead the discussion in that dialogue, who else are we waiting for? And we are so fortunate that we have right now deans of education who are progressive and are focusing on this agenda as well. But it is going to take all of us working together to be able to meet the needs of our students. Schools. We've always looked to schools as a place where we have equity. Just because you live in the north, you shouldn't be pressured into distance education. This is not speaking against distance education, by the way, or against technology. Technology has a role to play. But when we're using that because we don't want to spend the money to provide the resources for a school, when we know that a school is the heart of a community, we actually begin to decimate communities. And teaching, as we know, is far more than just teaching the three R's. It's about learning to live together and how to accept and celebrate each other's differences. We live in a multicultural society. How do we take on key issues like gender in our classrooms? How do we take on issues like racism in our classrooms? How do we take on issues around poverty in our classrooms? So all of these issues that impact our students, we have to engage in that dialogue. So today is going to be a challenging day. It's a very full day for all of us. Yesterday, the minister did say that they've got a full day and they're going to have a new announcement today. By the way, they did announce the day before yesterday that for the unborn babies, the ones that are going to be born next year, they are going to put $1,000 in trust for their post-secondary education. Well, what about the students who are sitting in our classrooms today? What about the skills shortage? What about the kids who can't get into post-secondary now because they can't afford it? Let's take a look at the real issues instead of making announcements that are into the future. And, you know, we always welcome every penny this government puts into education. But let's not get sidetracked and let's today focus on teaching and learning. Enjoy the day.